My name's Karen Churchill. I live near Frome in Somerset. And 3 years ago, a friend told me about the effects of smart meters and people having health problems. And then she went on to tell me about 5G. And I researched it and realized that a lot of scientists were calling for precaution because a lot of the science isn't reflected in the guideline. And the guideline that we use in this country is not protective of health effects that have been well demonstrated. I then went on to connect with people that are suffering quite greatly from the effects of 4G and wireless radiation. And I just started campaigning for the application of the precautionary principle.
One of my friends visited me yesterday, and he said, "Well, what? Why isn't your Wi-Fi on in the house?" You know, actually, I said, "Well, there's a little lead here. You know, we've got a wire. You can plug it in if you want to." And a lot of people seem to kind of assume that everyone has got their Wi-Fi on all the time. Now, can you just? Because I mean, there is a sort of edge here, maybe somewhere between paranoia and being sensible. So, whereabouts does Wi-Fi? Because Wi-Fi is in everybody's homes, and I know.
Exactly. And the trouble is, what the government have been putting out measure, a messaging about wireless radiation. They call it non-ionizing radiation. And because it's called non-ionizing, they then lead people to believe that it's non-bioactive. Well, it's not true. It is bioactive. It has an impact on every cell in the body. It impacts, the delicate electrical structure of the cell membrane, and there's gateways in the cell which allow, calcium and magnesium to flow across that membrane. And if you upset that balance, you then start to upset the functioning of all sorts of systems in the body.
Well, weren't people saying the same when radio first started in the 1920s?
Yes, but also if you look at the prevalence of the people who are sick in this country, we've got 3,000 donators on our Action Against 5G webpage, and the number of people that are writing in saying how sick they are when they are exposed to either their phone or the Wi-Fi in combination, people that can sense a mask even before they see it. People are experiencing fatigue, sickness, fizziness, lack of concentration, sleep problems. And that is what is people experiencing.
Now,
And the mechanism
surely,
to
if this
feed back.
was real, sorry, but if this was real, surely there would be regulations to stop the harmful, being harmful to our health.
Well, there are regulations in what's called the European Electronics Communication Code, which is transposed into our law in just before Brexit, and the primary law still holds. And within that legislation, it says that public health should be made imperative, and the environmental and health consequences need to be balanced. So when a local mask decision is made, that instruction, that responsibility is embedded deep within that law. Now that law conflicts with the policy. In the planning policy, there's a policy 118 which says to the local councils, you must not set health safeguards other than ICHNERP. ICHNERP's a German organisation, and they set a certain level of exposure to be protective and safe. So you've got a clash going on. You've got a responsibility and accountability for the effects that is being bypassed because people are relying, the councils are relying on this policy without examining it. Now, there's a whole group of people that aren't even covered by the ICHNERP guidelines. Anybody with a metal implant or wearing metal on their body, ICHNERP say we can't create a protective guideline exposure for those people because the action of EMFs on metal is unpredictable. So here you are. All of these people, they remain uninformed and unprotected by this high level of guideline that's been set by the government.
Well, look, we all know that you don't sit next to a microwave oven whilst it's on, and you certainly don't sit inside it. And as I
Exactly.
understand it, these are actually microwaves.
They are microwaves, indeed they are, and you're absolutely right. And if they are, every mask is like a big microwave oven with an open door. How close is it safe to be next to that microwave when it's turned on? Now, you've got a group in America called the New Hampshire Commission, and they spent a year, a legally ratified commission full of scientists, looking at the latest peer-reviewed science. They concluded you need at least 500 meters distance between that mast, and obviously masts vary in their output, etc., but as a ballpark, you know, for the sake of a starting point of examination, they're saying you need at least 500 meters. Now, our guideline is roughly 50 meters. So when you start talking in these terms and examining, you know, how safe are we? And, you know, this evidence that is presented by the New Hampshire Commission is not being examined by our government individually. They put all the responsibility on ICNIRP externally. And we do not get answers when we present this science to our councils and to the government. They don't reply.
Now,
it's just not good enough.
There's something quite annoying about this, because I don't use 5G. I've got 4G.
Yes.
And even late at night, I can't get anything like the download speed that I'm supposed to get on my 4G. And it's just about adequate. It's fine.
Yes.
Most of us know what these 5G masks look like, these giant boxes. Quite often in Bristol, they've got graffiti on them. But they're enormous great towers, something like 200 feet high. If there's one of these near you, what might you know if your health is being affected by it? What sort of symptoms?
Well, look out for fatigue, depression, anxiety, nausea, feeling sick, shaky on your feet, just disoriented, tingling sensations. We have, in our case, there's seven people in a particular address in London, and they have skin reddening and blisters under the tongue, and these kind of symptoms. But because, you know, if we've got the flu or a cold, or, you know, you're feeling generally unwell or stressed, there's so many factors, or, you know, you have food allergies, there's so many factors that affect how well we're sleeping. And it's a process of elimination, isn't it?
A lot of this sounds psychological. So, for example, it could be caused by just the fact that you've got massive energy bills you can't pay. So how do you tell whether it's anything to do with energy or whether it's just, you know, it's part of the cost of living crisis?
Well, I just think that people have a right to know that it could be their exposure which is causing them their problems. So then they have a chance to minimise as best they can their exposure, to eliminate that factor, to give them a chance to then eliminate other factors to improve their health and well-being. But without knowing, and without the government supporting and giving people the message, look, this radiation has been shown in all these biological tests, is known to cause these symptoms, people don't know. And in the beginning, I think it's less so now, but, you know, there was a lot of ridicule that was attached, and a lot of people who do suffer extreme reactions to wireless, they are still ridiculed and denied because the government says it doesn't exist. But the thing is, the tide is turning a little bit, because there are legal cases where people are winning either disability. A child was awarded the necessity of a low EMF environment because of symptoms. So these cases are beginning to come through. But, you know, more recognition is needed, and the recognition needs to come direct from the top, from the government, and people need to be, they need to be fully transparent about the risks.
Well,
and at the moment they are not. Absolutely not.
Fingers crossed on that one. But here in Bristol, the Eleanor Cumley, who was the leader of the Green Group, which is the second largest group on the City Council, something like 30, maybe 25 councillors, she was being interviewed by me back in 2019, and she's a physicist. I put it to her, I said, well, look, surely it's better to be encouraging you know, fiber, which is extremely efficient at moving data around, rather than the 5G. And she kind of looked at me blankly. Well, this isn't in my remit. And I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on, you're a physicist. Surely you understand that it takes a hell of a lot more energy to move data around on a microwave frequency. First of all, you've got to modulate it, then you've got to demodulate it. All this extra energy.
Yeah.
And what do you put this down to? The failure idea of the Greens to recognise that these mobile networks are using up masses of energy. In fact, in Ireland, they've predicted in a couple of years' time, they won't be able to generate enough power in Ireland to power all the computers and the data networks there.
Yeah, I think there are industry influences that make sure that this isn't fully considered. I think you're absolutely right. There's a complete mental block around the energy inefficiency. I mean, a 5G mast is 3 to 4 times the energy of a 4G mast. And if you look at all the energy involved in creating all the chipsets and the extreme expansion of smart cities, the balance is way off. You know, the energy imprint is enormous. But to try and get councillors to engage in that level of detail and debate, we found almost impossible. And it's just not logical.
So
it really
is
isn't.
Is there a way to stop these masts if you hear about one about to go up in your neighbourhood? Are they being successful in being...
Well, Bristol has been fantastically successful. 73 masts have been stopped in Bristol. There's a lady who uses a particular set of information, and she will watch the portal, and she goes out and she leaflets the area. And, you know, there have been meetings and protests in, you know, we've done a lot of media in Bristol, which is fantastic. But the thing is that the masts are not being stopped on the fundamental reason of protecting public health. They're being stopped because they're too tall or they're overbearing, which they are, and that's, you know, absolutely valid as well. But we haven't broken through the barrier of the council engaging with the fact that they are harming the people.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning of all this, we had Glastonbury Council saying they weren't going to have any of this. And also, your story from Bristol illustrates a very important point in that they are simply not telling people that live near this mast. It's up to somebody who's a campaigner to
yes.
be sitting on the internet, you know, every day, checking
exactly.
a page, finding an
application
for a mast, then doing some printing on her home printer and going out and literally putting this stuff through the... I mean, as I understood it, the council are supposed, they have to, when there's a planning application nearby, they have to leaflet everybody in the local area.
Yes, they have a responsibility to consult the interested parties, it's called. And sometimes it's like 5 houses, sometimes it's nobody, sometimes they'll put a tiny little notice up on a nearby lamppost. But, you know, you really have to keep on top of them because they're not committed. They're not committed to letting people know because they don't think it's a problem.
Hmm.
They don't think they have any power to have to stop it on health grounds anyway.
You know what? It's a commercial organisation, and the councils nowadays seem to just listen to them and not to us. Anyway, look, what's happening in the next few days? Because I know there's movement, isn't there?
There is. Our court hearing, Action Against 5G, is in court in London on Monday and Tuesday. We were granted originally a day hearing. It's now a day and a half. And we've got a lady judge called Judge Stacey who's hearing the case. Michael Mansfield is our barrister. He will be representing us, and we're just delighted that we finally got the chance and opportunity to hold the government to account. The first two rounds we had to appeal in order to be given permission to be heard. So we're thankful that we have this opportunity. We're thankful to the team for preparing the case. And so we would welcome as much support in person, outside the court on the day, because this 5G is the core of a lot of the narratives where, you know, control and lack of consideration of individual freedoms and consent is being overrun.
It's public health as well. That seems to have gone down the drain.
Completely. I mean, we're all under such stress, so, you know, everybody needs to know and have a chance of mitigating environmental pollution to protect themselves.
So where and when is this protest?
It's in the Strand. It's the Royal Court of Justice. The postcode is WC2A2LL. So you can put that in and look it up. The nearest tube station is Temple. We're gathering at 9:30, outside the court. The court should start at around 10:30. There's very, very limited seating inside. So it's last time in September, in December, when we gathered, it was a tremendous atmosphere and a chance to be with like-minded people.
Well, that's right. Maybe spend most of the day hearing what's going on, getting texts from people inside, and enjoying your time in the local coffee shops.
Yeah, there's a good Pret-a-Manger opposite, and another couple of coffee shops. And you know, it was wonderful to meet campaigners from all over the country that I've been working with via Zoom. You know, and eventually you have this gathering and wonderful feeling of all being together after sort of being in a localized areas, you know, spreading the word about this.
It's a way to beat the divide and rule tactics, and the fact that there isn't any proper regulation, with a lot of the regulators, the ICNIRP and people like this, actually being constituted mostly of people from the industry themselves, who are obviously not
there's not one medical doctor on the panel of ICNIRP, you know, and they're making all these judgments about physiology and biology and you know, the medical consequences of exposure.
Okay, without giving too much away, what's the sort of crux of your case? Is it on basic health grounds?
There's three aspects to our case: the failure of the duty to inform, the failure to monitor the risk and be proportionate as you disseminate the risk, and the failure to be transparent about the risk. So those are the, and it all comes under the Human Rights Act, that we have a right to freedom in our own home and we have a right to life. Mm. So it's the human rights aspect of the law that's being challenged in government's failure.
What's the best way to follow it online?
Online, we've got a website called actionagainst5g.org. There's a case update page in the news section. The background to the case, it can be read on the legal page. We have a crowd fund and we have a target of 250,000 and we're 60,000 short at the moment. So any help that you can give anybody out there who, you know, small donations add up. So whatever you can offer, if you care about democracy, your right to a healthy life, please do donate.
And if you can do, also get yourself down to London and have a good couple of days with some switched on people. Well, hopefully not switching on the 5G masts, but switched on types. Karen Churchill, thanks very much for joining us.
Lovely. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for this today.